was pretty surprised this morning. I don't know why, but you know, we serve the same God today as we read about in the Bible back then. I read about where Jesus sent out 70 to go out and do His work.
Yeah.
And give them the power to do so. Granted them the power to cast out devils and heal people. That's the same God we serve today.
Amen.
And when I think about it, what Jesus told them, He said, "Rejoice not. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written down in heaven."
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Is your name written down? Is it written in heaven? Let me ask you a question. Is it written in heaven or is it written in the dirt? Something to think about. The Lord put this song on my heart. I heard it about 3 weeks ago. Some of you know that some of your loved ones have done gone on to heaven. You look forward to meeting. And there's some of you in here might not know that some of your loved ones, whether or not they made it or not. Don't be sad, because God's going to take that from your memory anyway. The former things will be passed away, not to be remembered. I don't know how God's going to work all that out, but He'll work it out, because there's not going to be any sorrow.
Amen.
If I was in heaven knowing my loved ones are still down here, I'd be pretty sad.
Yeah.
Waiting for me, they're waiting for me. Oh, what a glad meeting there'll be. Waiting for me, they're waiting for me. My loved ones are waiting for me. When I cross over that dark rolling tide, oh, what a glad meeting there'll be.
Yeah.
For close there by the beautiful river of life, my loved ones are waiting for me. Waiting for me, waiting for me. My loved ones are waiting for me. Waiting for me, they're waiting for me. My loved ones are waiting for me. Sometimes I get weary and I want to go home, but all of my work here is not done. I'm glad I can labor for Jesus my Lord. Praise the Lord. Till I hear that sweet message come home.
Yeah.
Waiting for me, they're waiting for me. What a glad meeting there'll be. Waiting for me, they're waiting for me. My loved ones are waiting for me. They're waiting for me because my name's written down in the book of life.
Yeah. Amen.
It's written in heaven. It's written there where the Lord Jesus Christ on January the 6th, 2000, when I gave my life to Him, He wrote my name down.
Yeah.
He ain't going to forget it.
Yeah.
He ain't going to forget those that come to Him, my friend. He'll not leave you in the grave.
No.
He'll call you out one day and you'll hear a voice and you'll hear a shout. That the graves are going to burst open. I'm going to tell you, I've read about that, and I just look forward sometimes, and I long for that day whenever Jesus calls us home. But you know what? We've got a little labor to do down here.
Amen.
And Brother Justin talked about it this morning, to live as Christ, right?
Yeah.
We've got work to do here upon this earth. We've got every Christian born again by the blood of Christ has a work to do for Him. Praise God. Not just me, not just the preachers, not just the deacons, but every single person has a work to do, Brother Dick. You know what? It might be just to go down and visit a son-in-law that's laying down there. And let me tell you something. He was at the point of death. Hey, I told Brother Dick, I said, if the Lord don't intervene, I said, he's not going to make it. Praise God. And they had him scheduled to wait until Wednesday. Wednesday. He wouldn't be here if he had to wait till Wednesday. I believe that with all my heart. And I said, I prayed that God would open the door for him. You know why? And God, I believe, did that. I believe He answered that prayer. And that door was open for him. I could not believe it when Dick told me that he'd come to his house. Praise the Lord. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the saving business, church. You know, we don't see much of it anymore because you know what? There's something missing. There's something missing. There's a desire to hear and to know the Word of God. That's what's missing out there today, because let me tell you what, that's what it takes. That's exactly what it takes for a person to be saved. That when they hear the preached Word of God, when they hear that, and it's mixed with faith, their eyes of understanding are opened up, and listen, they'll come to the knowledge, and then they'll have a decision to make whether to accept or to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're at today. Where's your name written? I thought I was done with this chapter. I thought I was done with this book. Almost this whole chapter in John chapter 8, but if you would turn there, please. John chapter 8. I don't know if you know it or not, but John chapter 8, these first 11 verses in here came along a little bit later in Scripture. It's always been there, and I believe that if God didn't want it to be there, it wouldn't be there. But it is there. And God has a way of making sure that His Word it does not return to Him void. And I'm thankful that we have this account. We have this account of the woman that was caught in adultery. Actually, I like to look at it like the woman that Jesus forgives.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus forgives this woman, praise God. But there's something in here that's intrigued me for the past 19 years. I've looked at it. I've prayed about it. I said, maybe, well, when I get to heaven, God will show me what He wrote down on the ground. But I just about give up on it, Brother Garrett. I just about put it to the shelf and said, well, there are just some things that God does not want me to know. And I've said in services before that you know what? It doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say what He wrote down there. Well, you know what? I was wrong about that. I was wrong about that. Because the Bible does say what He wrote down there. It's just not right there. It's in some other place. How is the truth established in the Bible? Two witnesses. Slide on over there to write verse 17. For it is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. The truth is established by 2 to 3 witnesses. Two men's testimony, it's the truth, right? So even though I don't find it right here, what Jesus wrote on the ground, even though I don't find it here, doesn't mean it's not in here. Amen, Danny. Praise the Lord. I'll pull a wheelie on you. Amen, Danny. Just because it's not written right here does not mean it's not in there. And sometimes it takes a long time, like 19 years, to find it. Now, I came to my study yesterday morning, searching for something to preach on, because I didn't really have anything, Brother Justin. Anybody else been in that boat? Any preachers been in that boat where you don't really have anything? But I sat down at my study, and it was no accident that I opened up to the book of Jeremiah. Any of you all know me in here know that that's like number one for me. The book of Jeremiah is my favorite book. I love reading in it. It just means so much to me. And the first verse I read was chapter 17 and verse 7. It says, "Trust." He says, "Blessed are they that trust in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." That's where I started out at, and I began to read. And I come across a passage of Scripture that I'm going to get to here in just a minute that's going to tell us, and it told me, what Jesus wrote on the ground. Now, I've heard preachers preach this. Oh, I think He did this, and I believe He done that. And I'm pretty sure that He did this, or He did that, or He wrote this down, He wrote grace down, or He wrote my name down, He wrote somebody else's name down. I believe, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't cut it. What I believe doesn't cut it. It doesn't trump the Word of God. What we believe, listen, is based on this right here. Brother Anthony, I'll never forget your dad's advice. I'll never forget it. Nothing stands alone. That helped me find what I needed to find. Nothing stands alone in this book, son. Looked right at me and told me that. Nothing stands alone in this book, and everything leads to Jesus. That is the truth, man. That is the truth. And listen, those two witnesses, that's what it takes to establish the truth. But let me ask you, where's your name written? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is your name written in heaven? He told those disciples there in Luke chapter 10, He said, don't rejoice, don't be happy that you're able to cast out these devils and these spirits. But He said, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Boy, you ought to be happy, church, that your name's written down in heaven. I'm happy this morning that my name is written down in heaven. And you know what? Jesus has promised that to all that will come to Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever will call upon Him. Listen, this woman right here, she didn't have to do anything. Praise God, Jesus ended up right at the right place at the right time. It's no accident you're here this morning. If you're lost and undone without Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's no accident you're here. It's no accident you're here. Listen, I woke up one morning thinking, I'm not going to go to church. My wife was going on a regular basis. I'm not going to go. But you know what? There was a voice. There was a still small voice that come in and said, you need to get up and go. That was that drawing power. It drew me to where I needed to hear the Word of God. And once I got to hear the Word of God, let me tell you something. It started doing something to me. Amen? It started opening my eyes and opening my mind and opening my heart and making me understand that I was lost. If you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to be saved in this world from a devil's hell, you got to realize first that you're lost. And the Word of God will expose that to you. The Word of God will expose that to you. Over here in John chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto Him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? What sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him that He might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. Pay close attention to that now. It's not going to say right here what He wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and He wrote on the ground. We're going to stop right there for just a minute. He stooped down and He wrote on the ground. He did that twice. Some people say, well, He was just scribbling, trying to buy time. That's the biggest joke I ever heard in my life. Everything in this book, my friends, is important. Every jot, every tittle, every word has a meaning in it. Praise God. He was writing something important there on the ground. It says He was writing. He was writing. That word comes up, grapho. That's what it means. It means graph. It means that He's inscribing something. That He's putting something down. That He's recording something. Glory, glory, glory. I'm glad my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's been recorded there. It's been written there. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm the only one can take that out. Jesus said, if I be faithful unto Him unto the end, I will be saved. Praise God. Yet you'll be saved. Praise the Lord. I'm glad my name is written down there. But listen to what He says right here. He says, He wrote on the ground. And it's important to understand that what's going on here is that they're trying to set a trap for Jesus. They're trying to set a trap for Him. They're trying to catch Him up in something. You see, I believe they thought they had Him. You see, earlier at the end of chapter 7, they come to Him. They come to Him in the end of chapter 7. They come to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees had sent men out to go get Him and bring Him back to them. And He says, why haven't you brought Him back to us? And He said, we've never heard a man speak like this man. We've never heard a man speak like Jesus. The Word of God, my friend, is quick and powerful, and any two-edged sword, praise God, it rightly divides the truth. He'll let you know where you stand with Jesus. In other words, that's exactly what it means. The Word of truth, the Bible, the preaching, the Gospel will let you know where you stand with Jesus. It'll let you know for sure whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know it here this morning. When I heard that preacher preach, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would he give in exchange for his soul? Listen, that stuck with this old boy. That come right down in from the ear, right down into the heart. And listen, I understood then that I was lost. And I understood that I didn't have my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I understood that, listen, if I continued on the road that I was continuing on, and I died in that, and I would die in that condition. Listen, what would happen to me? Where the tree falls, also there shall it lay. Praise God, I would die lost and undone and without Christ. And listen, that was my choice. That was my choice to end up in the devil's hell. Jesus came to seek and to save them which were lost. And as He seek and sought me out that day, you remember when He seek and sought you out? Praise the Lord. He found me where I was at, right where I was at. In my sin, in the old miry clay, as you mentioned, Brother Justin, down in the pit, praise God, but I'm going to tell you what, He lifted me up out of that pit, praise God, whenever I surrendered all to Him. Where's your name written? Can you say it's written in heaven? I can say that. Can you say that today? Can you say that your name is written in heaven today? Praise God, I'm glad for that. There's going to be a glad reunion day one of these days, Brother Dick. Oh, glory to God. They're waiting for me. But you know what? There's a little work we got to do down here yet. God will call us home when He's ready. Praise God, I told Dick the other day, I said, you know, whatever happens, I told Donald Ray too, I said, listen, whatever happens, I said, you're going to be here as long as God wants you to be here. Huh? You're going to be here as long as God wants you to be here. But whenever it's your time to go, my friend, He's going to call you home. He said, I'll be a winner either way. That's good, isn't it? What a good testimony that is. Praise the Lord. But these guys have set a trap for Jesus. They thought for sure that they had Him this time. They tried to bring him to them earlier. And the men didn't bring Him there because they said, never a man spoke like this man. So they brought Him. So they thought they had Him here. So they bring this woman, drag her in there. And they throw her in front of Jesus and say, we got this woman caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery. Moses in the law says that we should stone her. What sayest thou? Thought they had Him. Because if He would have said, yeah, go ahead and stone her, then He would be breaking the Roman law, the government's law. You see, the Romans had jurisdiction over everything there. He would have been breaking their law, and therefore He would have had to answer to them. They could have had Him hauled off to go to their court. They thought they had Him. They didn't know who they was dealing with. Praise the Lord, at that time they didn't know who they was dealing with. They find out a little bit later. But then if He would have said, no, you can't stone her, then what was He doing? He was breaking the law of Moses. He was breaking the law of God. And they'd had Him then, right? So he was in a predicament. Yes or no? But Jesus doesn't do yes or no. He just gets down and starts writing on the ground. He writes on the ground and he said, "Hey, you without sin, you can throw that first stone at her." You know what that caused? Because there wasn't not a single one of them there without sin. There's not a single one of us in this room today that is without sin. But praise God, we have Jesus Christ who was the atonement for that sin. Behold the Lamb of God. Not just to cover it up anymore, Brother Jeremy, but to take it away. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what John said when he seen Jesus coming to him. My sins have been taken away. My sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west. And my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Where's your name written? Where's your name written? Is it written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Turn with me, if you would, over to Jeremiah chapter 17. What did Jesus write? What did He write on the ground? What did He write in the dirt? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake Thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from Me shall be written in the... Are y'all reading or not? They that depart from Me shall be written in the earth, right? Because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Written in the earth. Right over in the New Testament means grapho. I said this earlier. It means to describe, to write down, to inscribe something, to record something. Over here in the Old Testament, the word written right there, it means, let me find it here, it means kathab. Kathab. I'm not trying to confuse you with words. That's just Hebrew words and that's Greek words, okay? Kathab, I believe. And it means the exact same thing as it does over in John. It means to inscribe. It means to record. It means to put down. So right here, O Lord of Israel, all that forsake Thee shall be ashamed, and they shall depart from Me, and they that depart from Me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Now these guys that are trying to set the trap for Jesus knew their Old Testament prophets. They knew about them. They knew about Isaiah. They knew about Jeremiah. They knew about these Scriptures. And if you read on over, hold your place there and jump on over back to John again. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take the Word of God. Jump on over to John chapter 7. Back up a chapter. I'm trying to lay a little foundation here so you'll know. So you'll know what He wrote down. Pick it up in verse 37. In the last day, in the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink." Now listen to what this says right here in 38. Now remember, this is the same group that brought the woman in front of Him. This is the same group. "He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow" what? "Rivers of living water." You can't tell me they didn't realize that they were talking to the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, that they had to realize that then, because the Old Testament was laying it out for them right there. And here it comes over to the New Testament, and he tells them, "Those that believeth on Me, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water." Praise the Lord. And he go back over, now switch back over to Jeremiah again, 17. And what does he say right there at the very end of it? "Because they that have forsaken the Lord, the fountain, the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Who's that talking about? That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ right there. The Lord, the fountain of living waters. When you see that, you know that He's talking about that. And He goes over here and He nails it down again. But they just keep on and they keep on. You know, people just keep on and keep on. And they just reject time after time God's Word, and they reject time after time His mercy and His grace that He's trying to give to them. And He's trying to call them right back here. He brings them up to Him, and Jesus doesn't get up and just smart off to them. Right there He says, you that's without sin, you can throw the first stone at her. When they all knew good and well that none of them could do it. You know, Jesus was the only one qualified there that He could cast the first stone at Him. Because Jesus was without sin. He is without sin. He that knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made. Listen to me. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's how you get saved. Is you accept Jesus in pardon and remission of sins. You accept Him. You accept what He is and who He is and what He has done. He went to a cross and they nailed Him to a cross. We preach about that all the time. People say, I don't understand that stuff about the cross. Let me tell you, it took the cross. The cross, my friend, was God's method of redeeming a people unto Himself. And He took Jesus Christ and He nailed Him to that old cross. And listen, He was slain for our iniquities. He was bruised, my friends, and beaten beyond the recognition of any man. And God laid it out for that, and it said that it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Lord that we'd be able to be redeemed by His blood. Okay. Back over to John again. And they said, tempting Him that He might accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down with His finger and He wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted Himself up and He said unto them, He is without sin among you, let Him cast the first stone. And again He stooped down on the ground and He wrote on the ground. Now I looked up that word ground. You know what it means? Earth. Dirt. Went on back over to Jeremiah chapter 17 where it says, written in the earth. Written in the earth. You know what that means? Dirt. Ground. And literally, don't miss this, literally the grave. My friends, when you're lost and undone without Christ, your name's in the dirt. You're in the grave. You don't even know it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. You see, these guys came to Him with the law. They tried to catch Him up to trying to mess up, that He might mess up and say, go ahead and not, don't stone her. You know, if He'd have said don't stone her, then listen, He would have been violating the law. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to do what? He came to fulfill it. He came to satisfy God's wrath toward man. Praise God, He came to do those things. They tried to catch Him up in it. You know what? Well, I'm going to preach it anyway. Praise the Lord. I believe a lot of people think that God's up there with a big hammer. And He's making these laws and He's making all these things just so He can drop the hammer on us. God ain't about that. Do you know what His law is for? Read over in Galatians. I believe it's 3 and 21. It says it is our schoolmaster. The law is our schoolmaster. It is what God has put in our hearts. He wrote a new law and He put it in our hearts. He didn't just leave it on the paper. Praise God, He wrote the law in our hearts. You know, he that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. You know that, right? You know when you mess up. That law ain't up there to drop a hammer on you. That law is up there to draw you closer to Christ. Because it says the law is our schoolmaster, and it's to draw us to Christ. It is to lead us to Christ. It is to show us. I told you earlier, I said if you're ever going to be saved, you've got to realize, number one, that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. Now, a lot of people use that law. Sometimes they'll use this passage of Scripture to go the wrong direction. Because they'll see this woman where Jesus never pointed a finger at her. Okay? Never pointed a finger at her. Never really pointed out her sin like they was trying to do. Make a public mockery out of her. But you know, Jesus didn't do that. And a lot of people, Jesus didn't judge me. Jesus didn't judge that woman, so why should Jesus judge me? That is a misinterpretation of the law. Because He tells her to go and sin no more. My friends, when you get saved by the grace of God, you should live a life the best you can and as close as you can, likened unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You shouldn't live in sin. If God saves you by His grace, don't go out there and do the same old sins that you used to do. Live the same old life that you used to live. Because if you do, my friend, you're not making grace. You're making a disgrace to God's mercy.
Amen.
It's not grace, it's a disgrace if you go living in sin like that. He said, well, all I said, what do you do with that all of sin? Yes, we do. But He said, my little children, I ask that you sin not. I ask that you sin not. But if you do, you have a mediator. God knew we couldn't live life without sinning sometimes. I've sinned this week probably, okay? Some I know about, some I don't know about. A thought or something like that you might have might be a sin to God. I pray for forgiveness on a daily basis. That doesn't mean that God's going to kick me out of the kingdom because I forget to pray one day. I'm not going to walk on His grace like that. Praise God, but if I go out willfully sinning against God, knowing that my sins separate me from God, I'm creating a barrier. I'm coming to a point where I'm gonna end up falling out of fellowship with God. And I'm gonna tell you what, if I stay out of fellowship with God very long, I'm gonna end up to a point where, listen, I'll get to where that God doesn't even know me anymore and He'll turn me over to my own reprobate mind. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, God is gracious. Let's don't walk on His grace. Listen, if He saved you from cussing, quit cussing. if He saved you from stealing, quit stealing. If He saved you from coveting, quit coveting. If He saved you, my friends, from adultery, quit being in adultery. You can't say that God saved you by His grace and go shack up with a man like you used to.
Amen.
Help me, Lord. Preach. Praise the Lord. It's the truth.
Amen.
Amen. And if you know the truth, it'll set you free, right? Oh, I'm free indeed. I'm free from the sin and bondage that I used to have. You know why? Because Jesus set me free. And because, listen, He's not up there with a hammer to whack me over the head every time that I fall out, that I fall and I mess up. I've slipped all over the rock, but praise God, I still got a hold of it. Amen. Let's get out of the sin business. That's what He told her. That's all He could tell her. She's under the law yet. Go and sin no more. And if you have faith in God, you won't sin no more. Praise God. Yeah, I might mess up along the way, but if I do, I've got a mediator. I've got one that will go to God on my behalf. Praise God. If you ask Him, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's my Lord. That's what He'll do for us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What did He write on the ground? So they continued asking Him, lifting Himself, and He said unto them, verse 7, He is without sin among you. Let Him cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down. He did this twice. There's a reason for that too. Remember two, three witnesses, right? Again He stooped down and He wrote on the ground. And they which heard it being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. What did they see there? What did they see there? One thing they remembered was the words of Jeremiah. Those that forsake me, those that depart from me. That comes right out of Jeremiah. Are written in the ground. Are written in the ground. What'd they do? The Bible says that they were convicted in their own conscience. My friends, it comes down to be a one-on-one. A one-on-one between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter about your mommy. It doesn't matter about your daddy. It doesn't matter about your poppy. It doesn't matter about your spouse. It becomes a one-on-one between you and Jesus, and you're going to have to make a decision somewhere. That's what it comes to. These men were convicted in their own conscience. If you back up to Jeremiah, it says, "All that forsake thee shall be ashamed." They had to know that that was them that they wrote on, that Jesus wrote on the ground. They had to know that it was them. It wasn't the woman. I believe he might have been looking for Jesus to write the woman's name down. But he didn't write her name down. Because it goes right on there to say that what happens with the woman comes to her. And Jesus, after everybody had left, listen to this now. And Jesus, after everybody had left, lifting himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where art thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And no man condemned thee? Now Jesus had every right to judge her because he was without sin. He is without sin. And he will be our judge one day. One day, my friends, we're going to have to stand before him and we're going to see him, Brother Jeremy, you preached about, face to face. We're going to have to face him face to face. And I believe that woman was face to face with Jesus, looking into his eyes. And listen, I believe that her conviction, listen, Jesus didn't have to say a word, but it was one on one with her. And he said, "None, Lord. None, Lord," that's what she said. "No man, Lord. No, there's nobody here to condemn me. They've all gone. They drug me out here in front of this crowd, but now they're all gone." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Where's your name written down? Is it written in heaven? You see, that's something you're going to have to deal with right now. See, sometimes people let sin burden them down. And I said, earlier, the law was not designed, not like that. The law, how were we created? In the image of God, right? The Bible says we were created over in Genesis. It tells us in the very first chapter, it said He created us in our image. Our image. That ought to tell you something, church, that there was Jesus was right there too. Amen? In our image and in our likeness. You know what I figured out what the law is about? The law is more about what God and Jesus Christ is like. Goodness, mercy, love, forgiveness, joy. All of those things that are good describes what God is like. And the law is what He has put in place, I believe, to deal with our hearts, to make us to become more like Him. We're conformed to His image, but sin destroyed that in the garden. Sin separated us. He separated them from the garden. He separated them from the tree of life. He separated them from Himself. But He had a plan. Glory to God. He had a plan from the get-go, from the very beginning, to draw all men back unto Him. And they've got a choice to make. Lost friend, if you don't know Christ, you're just like one of those guys that was come to Jesus and dragging the woman right before Jesus Christ Himself. Your name is in the earth. It's in the grave. It's in a place, my friend, that you can't get out of by yourself. You've got to have the blood applied. You've got to have Jesus Christ. You've got to accept Him. You've got to make Him, we say this all the time, you've got to make Him Lord of your life. You want joy? You want true, living joy in your life? Come and make Him Lord of your life. Come and make Him Lord of your life. Make him listen. You say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. I can't quit the sin business, Brother Danny. Let me share a little story with you. Anybody in here? Thank you. Anybody? Well, I've lost them all. Anybody in here have any problems with forgiving somebody that's done them wrong? That's me. Okay? And for years and years, that was the obstacle that was in front of me that kept me from being saved. Do you hear me? That was the obstacle. I couldn't let go of my bitterness and my, I'll just say, hatred that I had for that guy. Because he'd done me wrong. He'd done my family wrong. And I thought, well, I can't be a Christian like that. I had part of that right. Can't be a Christian like that. You can't. The Bible says that you can't hate your brother and love God. You're a liar. Don't tell me you hate your brother and love God, because the Bible clearly states it. The Word of God, not Danny, says it, that there's no truth in that. But I couldn't let that go, and that was an obstacle. And every time I try to let it go, the devil would come along, Brother Gary, and he'd throw that obstacle right up in front of me. I was 27 years old when God first called me to be saved. My name was in the dirt. I was lost and undone, and I realized it. I knew that I was lost. I knew that if I would die in that condition, that hell would be my home. And I also knew that God did not want that for me. You know, God doesn't want that for anybody.
Amen.
Because He came and gave His very best that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came and gave it. Those that believeth on Him, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm going to tell you what, my life has been complete since I accepted Him. But 27 years old, I did just like those guys that brought the woman in front of Him. I was convicted in my own conscience. I got up out of that church pew. I walked out. And I didn't come back, Brother Floyd, until I was 44 years old. That's the mercy of God. That He came one more time, Brother Dawson, and He called me again.
Amen.
And if God's calling you, that's the exact time. That's the perfect time for you to come up and be saved. The Bible says if you won't confess Him before men, He will not confess you before the Father. Plain and simple. And if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and He rose from the dead, you've got enough to be saved right there.
Amen.
God will take care of the rest. But if He's calling you, if He's knocking on your door, you need to come right at this moment and right at this time.